Hello.
Hello.
Hello. This is
Hello. Hi, Vicky. It's
Annette.
Helen.
No, this is Annette. We're waiting on Vicky still.
Oh, we sounded like Vicky when you said it like
Right.
Wow.
that.
Hello, everyone.
There she is.
Welcome to our meeting tonight. If anybody out there has joined us from a digital source, would like to remind you this is a live teleconference meeting. So we'll have people here from all over the place. We'll give them a couple minutes to dial in before we get started. And anytime, you digital listeners, anytime you'd like to join our live meeting, you would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. That puts you on the conference line Monday nights and Friday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And every weekday morning at 7:15, we have our prayer and Bible reading. So welcome, and if you'd like to say hello, now is a good time to do that. Hello. Hi there.
Annette.
Been missing you.
I'm not a day trap. Been busy.
Well, I understand. I know that feeling. You know that life. Good morning.
Hi, Vicki.
Hello.
It's Helen.
Hi, Helen.
Good evening.
Hi there. That sounds like a question.
Yeah. Hi, Vicki. How are you?
Doing well. We are blessed in our challenges. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yep.
Good evening, everyone, from Steve and Cindy.
Hi, Steve and Cindy.
Yeah. Kitchen. That one.
And
yeah. Oh.
God is good. Hallelujah. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Vicki. It's Joan. Thank you.
Hi,
Hi
Joan.
Hi, Vicki.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, and we were going to go on, and anyway, Rick and I was just talking. He's going to merge in a little bit, but
okay. Praise the Lord.
Yes, love you. We've been praying for Phil. I'm so glad he's getting better. Is Phil there too? Oh, yeah. We love you, Phil.
Thank you, honey. I love you too.
I'm praying for Rick. So glad you're okay.
Okay, who else wants to say hello?
Learn a valuable lesson in life. If it's raining and the stairs are wet, don't go down too quickly.
There you go. All right. Does anybody else want to say hello before we get started here tonight? Oh, we still got a minute or two.
There you go. I made it in too, Vicki. I made it in too. Hey, Brother Phil. Hope you're doing okay, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Had a great
And Mitch had a birthday. Happy birthday, Mitch.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Appreciate it, then. Thank y'all. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Happy birthday.
I think it was Saturday. Well, the 11th then. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I quit having them. I gave that up now. Oh, I appreciate it, everybody. I'll mute out.
Thank you, sir. All right. Anybody else? Hello? Hi.
Hi, Vicki.
It's Judy.
Yes, it is.
All right, welcome.
Thanks, honey. Love y'all.
Thank you, dear. All right. Well, I know Rick says hello, but he'll be on soon. Last call. Who wants to say hello? Okay. Hearing no more friendly hellos for now, I'm going to go ahead and mute your telephones, and we will get started tonight. We've got a wonderful healing for you all this evening. I certainly hope that you will receive it.
Rick, you're on the phone.
Praise God.
Hi, Rick.
Okay. I'm going to mute your phones now.
Good evening, friends of Freedom's Way Ministries. We are so happy that you're with us this evening. This is our Monday night teaching, and it's a good one. You're going to be blessed. Freedom's Way Ministries, my name is Phil Burdett. Trying to figure out who I am. Had a kind of a topsy-turvy week, but praise God I'm here. So, we are Freedom's Way again. I'm Phil, and I'm here with my wife, Vicki. Hallelujah. And our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ and enjoy all the benefits of the kingdom by following his ways, his leading. And the closer we get, the stronger we are in him, the greater the reward. So we're glad you're with us. These teachings are very instrumental in helping us grow in the Lord. And you're going to be blessed tonight, so get ready. I'm going to pray us in. And be ready to receive tonight. Listen closely. I've learned that I've got to listen to these things a lot of times for it to really bear fruit in my life. So please give us your undivided attention tonight, and you will be blessed. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing, God. Thank you that you are with us. We worship you this evening with all our minds, our strength, our heart. Lord, we lift you up on high. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have anointed this message with your heart, Lord. And that it is your heart on the matter. So we lift you up, we give you glory and honor. And in the name of Jesus, we turn aside any assignment against this message that would blunt it, distort it, or in any way divert the power of the Holy Spirit that would keep it from having its full effect in the heart of God's people. Thank you, Lord, for it. We give you all the honor and all the glory tonight from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. You know, over the past few weeks in this series, we've covered a lot of foundational truths that will help us put the devil under our feet, including topics such as the sin of familiarity, understanding the depth of meaning in God's word. We've talked about sin and spirit world realities, and we've shown you the pattern of sin. We have now, hopefully, a better grasp of how the kingdom of darkness accesses us to manifest sin through our members. This week's message is on separation, how to separate yourselves from unclean spirits. Every week is going to open a new door of understanding and reveal a greater insight into our identity and also into the authority that we carry. You know, I just want to interject here. Right at the very beginning, so many of us in the Christian world we'll say we have authority, but it's a mental assent. Yes, I have authority because that's what Jesus said he gave me was authority. But it isn't an experiential knowledge. We've not practiced that authority. We've not used it. We've not spoken it. We've not developed it in our lives so that it's just a head knowledge authority. And as you learn and grow through this series of putting the devil under your feet, you will begin to take that rightful authority and use it to advance God's kingdom. Amen.
Amen. I was just wondering which message you were reading.
I wasn't reading. I was
wondering. We're off on a new tangent, but praise the Lord. You know, when Vicki goes off like that, it's coming straight from the Holy Spirit. This week's message will take us a little deeper into how we learn and what happens to what we learn. We'll discuss the spirit-soul connection and learn how to separate ourselves and others from sin. Some of you already undergone changes from the knowledge you've gained, especially those who let go of a spirit of unforgiveness last week. And if that's you, you now find it much easier to forgive others and to stop judging them. Once more, we emphasize, if you think that who you are today is what God intended and made you to be, there's no room for change in your life. You limit God and stay his hand from restoring you to the wonderful person that he created you to be in his mind and heart from before the foundation of the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's all realize that not one of us yet has Christ fully manifested in us, which means we need to remain open in our hearts and minds to receive everything God has for us.
I want to say that thing you emphasized again. If you think that who you are today is who God intended and made you to be, then there is no room for change.
Wow.
Don't settle for less than the best.
Amen. But let's not forget who we are. When we say, it's just the way I am, we put Satan on cruise control. He doesn't have to work hard to mess up your health, your marriage, your job, your children, or anything else in your life. You're doing his work for him. All he has to do is send one of his demons to give you a little directional nudge away from the truth once in a while, then his deceptions and your defeat can continue.
Mm. There are two pathways of learning for all of us, from within and from without. First, we have our five physical senses, what we see and hear and touch and taste and smell. All of our experiences become a part of our soul. This is the part of us where our knowledge and experience is based. Your intellect is part of your soul. Your emotions and desires are also a part of your soul. And those feelings are captured in your spirit as well. Your will is the final component of your soul, and your will is your decision-making faculty. Now, your will is meant to weigh your knowledge and experience, the five senses, what you see and hear and touch and taste and smell, against the Word of God, and make a godly decision in every situation. Unfortunately, for many, the only thing that gets weighed is the intellect. For others, the only thing being weighed is the emotions. And when we allow our feelings to take precedence over the Word, and this includes symptoms in your body, your physical feelings, as well as your emotional feelings, when we allow feelings to take precedent over the word, or we allow our intellect to argue against the word because of this sense realm, there's no balance, and we are dangerously close to capture by the enemy.
The second way we learn is from within. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, guides us, and teaches us from within our spirits. He doesn't announce himself and tell you, I am the voice of God and not your voice.
No, he
doesn't. We must discern when God speaks according to the word and his nature of love, truth, and humility. The same thing is true when the enemy speaks through one of his demons. He doesn't say, I'm a messenger from hell, not your own voice. On the contrary, Satan wants you to think his thought is just your thought. That way you won't be fighting your true enemy. And that is how Satan has us all fighting each other when he's the enemy.
Right.
Again, we must discern by knowing the nature of Satan. If what you hear is fear, pride, or a lie against what God says in his word, then cast down the thought before it can take root and become sin in your life. Remember, spirit communicates with spirit at spirit level, and there is no distance in the spirit. Spiritual communication goes on all the time. Think of that day when you went to the phone to call a friend or find out the friend was picking up the phone to call you.
Awesome.
Yeah, it happens. Spiritual communication can be a prompting from the Holy Spirit, or it can be a prompting from some other spirit.
Without the knowledge of God and his word, you will have a hard time distinguishing his voice from your own. You will also have a hard time telling the difference between your enemy's voice and your own. Many people do not realize, as we have already seen in this series, our thoughts don't always belong to us. They do not always stem from our own intellect, but they come from some form of intelligent being. Thought doesn't just float ethereally in space waiting to fall on you. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about three sources of thought. When the enemy comes to us hissing and whispering in a magical deceptive voice that sounds like your own, we can be enchanted, just as Eve was, into believing a counterfeit word. We gave you a great example from the word itself, so I want to look at another example that many of you may relate to a little more closely. An evil spirit accesses our mind by inserting a thought into our spirit man. Let's say it's rejection and division working in tandem. The thought is carried into the soul through the mind. We hear it in first person. Again, because the devil wants you to think it's your thought. He doesn't want you to know he's there. And we hear it like this. The pastor didn't smile at me today. As a matter of fact, he ignored me. He didn't even speak to me. I guess he doesn't like me. He probably wants me to disappear. I better start looking for another church. One thought flowed into another thought, each one becoming more divisive. Sorry. If the thought had been met with discernment, wait a minute, God wouldn't tell me that. That thought didn't come from God. That thought wants me to feel rejected and unwanted. That's not love. That is not love. And it isn't humility, because I feel offended. It causes me to be self-focused. That's pride. Get out of my head, devil. If the thought doesn't line up with the Word of God and His nature, we are directed to cast it down. Second Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Hallelujah. Amen. What is the obedience of Christ? Obedience means attentive hearkening, which is setting our full attention on and listening to Christ in order to obey. How do we hear Christ? Through the Word of God. So if the thought does not conform to the Word, it has to go, whether it was a word from the enemy or our own reasoning. We usually stop with just that, but Paul continued the instruction saying we should be prepared to revenge disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. The word when is not a point in time. This word means in as much as or while. Paul tells us in these verses that as we discern the thought is not from God, we must both cast down the thought and also cast out the spirit behind it.
Oh, that's huge.
Yes, it is. We must cast down the thought and the spirit behind it. This is so important. That is how we grow. We do this in as much as or to the degree that our own obedience or attentive hearkening is fulfilled.
That's important, too. So you're saying that if we are not in attentive hearkening to the Lord, but just a little bit, that's the degree that we can cast out that spirit?
Amen.
Yeah, okay.
Glad you clarified that.
I didn't. I was asking.
But think of a net overflowing with fish. Or a hole in the ground that has been filled as the picture of fulfilled.
Okay, I got it.
With this understanding, we can now read the verse this way. And being prepared by the word of God to retaliate against evil as much as we are crammed full of Christ. The net is full. In other words, we can cleanse our spirit according to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ within us. Hallelujah. When we agree with and contemplate thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, those thoughts can move from the short-term memory to the long-term memory and actually become a part of our physiology. That's when the programming of evil can begin to destroy our bodies through disease. And there is an indication this can even change your genetics. If you don't want to become the physical source of a generational curse, take every thought into captivity. Someone is questioning the change your genetic statement. So Vicki's going to explain that. Hallelujah.
Amen. I hope to. Way back. When I went through the For My Life program at Pleasant Valley Church, they and the Be In Health program had documented a case of a young man who had congenital heart disease. I happened to be there at the week when he came to give his testimony, because this congenital heart disease had also presented itself in his infant son. which is why he came to the program in the first place. But when the man repented of the spiritual root in himself and in his generations, the RNA DNA molecule that had been identified as the cause of the heart disease disappeared from his seven-month-old son.
Wow.
Let that sink in. Put that in your thinker and think about it. Breaking a generational curse goes both ways. It goes up and it comes down the line. Sin has intelligence and it has an assignment on our lives. We must learn to recognize it and separate ourselves from it. And that's what we call separation. And it takes discernment. Fortunately, you have that. You may not have ever exercised it, but God gave it to you. The Word says we have the Holy Spirit in us and we know all things. But learning to discern takes practice. 1 John 2, verse 20 and 21, but you have an unction, a smearing, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And in Hebrews 5, verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, pardon me. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Praise the Lord. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. But if we are not alert to his promptings, if we are not aware of his word and his will, it won't seem that we know much of anything. In order to come to full age, we must become doers of the word and not hearers only. Practice forgiveness.
Mm.
Practice peace. Practice faith. Practice joy. Practice loving the unlovely. Actively develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is already in us. Hallelujah. It was deposited in every one of us when we yielded ourselves to Jesus. Galatians 5:22 tells us what those fruits are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, which is humility, temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. When someone hurts your feelings, the memory of what that person did is in your mind, but the pain of it is in your spirit. Think about what I just said. The memory is in your mind, but the pain is in your spirit. When you truly forgive that offense and truly release that person to God, you still have the memory, but the pain is gone. It is not there anymore. And that is when you know you are no longer thinking on the soul level, but on the spirit level. And that is when your senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah.
Amen. Your enemy wants to remind you of your past and project it into your future. If you allow that, you will be unable to defeat the enemy today. Is that enemy winning in your life? For example, worry for tomorrow is found to be the number one cause of high blood pressure. Is it a sin? Well, yes, worry is a sin. When you repent for not trusting God and for disobeying his word, take no thought for tomorrow, your blood pressure will likely come back into the normal range.
Amen.
It probably won't happen overnight. There may be a lot of programming to break and a lot of reprogramming to undertake. That is all possible because of the blood of Jesus. We are here to help you turn your captivity back onto your true enemy.
Thank you, Lord.
Another example of a common spiritual root is that of arthritis. Why is this speaking to me tonight? In practically every case of arthritis, there is found a root of bitterness, either generational or present. A broken heart opens us to bitterness. There is something in your life that has not been forgiven nor been resolved, opening the door for envy and bitterness to dry and rot the bones. Our immunity is created in the bone marrow, and if the bones are rotten, we are open to developing arthritis and other diseases. Clearly written, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones.
Wow. Hallelujah. We want to take a side trip for a few minutes, and or I want to, and talk about psychology and the New Age. How the New Age refers to inner healing. This was first presented by the New Age. It was not presented by the church. It's a very catchy catchphrase. It's bantered about in Christian circles, usually without the slightest clue as to its true meaning. The other phrase widely used and generally misunderstood is soul wounds. Now, it's been said that the best lie has the most truth in it. Think about that. And, of course, we all know that if the counterfeit didn't seem real, nobody would be fooled by it. So do we need true healing in our inmost parts? Yes, we do. Can our souls be wounded? Yes, they can. So what's the problem? Well, the problem with many inner healing methods used both in the church and outside the church in the world is that these methods are only concerned with renewing the mind. They don't deal with the kingdom within. They don't identify the spiritual roots of emotional instability or mental illness. Renewing the mind is not the end of sin in your life. I'm sorry if you've been taught that. Sin is an evil being. It's a soldier in the army of Satan that lives in us and interjects thoughts into our minds so that that being can manifest through our flesh. Now, if we are a strong enough Christian not to allow that thing to manifest, it's going to turn inward and make you sick. That's not even in the notes, but it's the truth. Learning to manage your demons is not the answer. Training to cope with the misery in your life is not the answer. Medicating yourself with prescription drugs or illegal substances or even alcohol, that is not the answer. And the renewed mind is not the answer either. Some people like very much to fall back on that generally accepted belief, my spirit is renewed, but my mind is still being renewed. There is truth in that. However, it's not meant to be used as a crutch for living with a demonic influence, and is not to be used as an excuse for committing sin. Let's look at the entire verse from which this doctrine stems.
That's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul was telling us that renewing the mind is not the finish line, but the starting point. He was not saying that having a renewed mind would make us pure. He was saying that having a renewed mind would make us able to recognize and separate ourselves from evil. He was saying that having a renewed mind would make us responsible to test the spirits.
That doesn't mean argue with God.
Amen. We may have been taught that the mind not being renewed is the reason for sin in our lives. If we just had enough word in us, we wouldn't do bad things or think evil thoughts. I wish that was true, don't you?
I sure do.
But it's not.
Even memorizing the Bible. Think of that. Memorizing the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. Even being able to quote any verse from it by a simple chapter and verse reference. That will not separate us from the evil spirit. It will not exonerate us from the consequence of its manifested sin. Over the years, you know, we've met a couple others in ministry who had that ability. You could give a chapter and verse and they'd tell you what it said. They had a total command of the word, total. But they were not free from disease or sin. Think about it. We would likely agree that if anyone had a renewed mind, it would be the Apostle Paul. Let's think about that one. He had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. He had vast knowledge and understanding of God and history, of the law, and of Jesus Christ the Word. Paul was the apostle of apostles, converted from being the Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew more, he taught more, and he suffered more than perhaps any other. Many of the New Testament writings are attributed to him. If Paul didn't have a renewed mind, I would think there's little hope for any of the rest of us. And yet, Paul wrote that he had a thorn in the flesh. He carried this affliction as a badge of honor, it seemed. But he may have been exhibiting pride or self-idolatry by his refusal to deal with the spiritual root. He blamed God, inferring that he had been given this affliction by God to keep him humble so that he wouldn't exalt himself because of his knowledge. He just exalted himself because of his knowledge when he said that. you know, thinking he knew more than anyone else. And because he did, God had to make sure he wasn't perfect. I mean, that declaration in itself is a boastful one. Says, look at me. I'm so great, God has to take me down a peg. Now, if Paul, who did truly have more revelation and understanding than others, and without whom we'd still be ignorant regarding the sin within, read Romans chapter 7. If Paul had those spiritual influences in his life, how much more do we? Are we greater than Paul? I don't think so. God made it clear to the Israelites that if they didn't deal with a matter, it would become a thorn in the flesh to them. Paul was a Pharisee. He knew that scripture, but he didn't relate it to himself. He didn't connect the land as his flesh, the land God created to dwell in. His people, made from the dust of the earth.
Hallelujah. Amen. Numbers 33:55. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. It's amazing what you find in the Old Testament like that. Right? It just speaks right to it. Judges 2:2-3. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. When God said, my grace is sufficient, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he was telling Paul that his power and presence in God's life was the strength. Did I say something wrong?
Said God's life.
I took a hard fall. Forgive me. That his power and presence in Paul's life was the strength he needed to overcome. If you want a good acronym for grace, it is God's riches at Christ's expense. This indicates that Paul chose to remain weak. Perhaps Paul knew himself so well that he was unsure whether he would continue in the way of Christ if he were made whole. My grace is sufficient is both an overcoming message as well as a comforting one. You can choose to clean out the land and be free of the torment, or I will sustain you through the misery of not having done so. You recall the explanation of Romans chapter 7, where Paul admitted he had a problem with sin, yet his mind was surely renewed as much as is possible for any of us. Renewing the mind didn't take care of everything the way we're led to believe it will. This is why we have to get the full meaning of what Paul was trying to tell us. The renewed mind is a launching pad for discerning of spirits, not a barrier from them. We are told to test the spirits and to prove all things. Without a strong foundation in the Word of God, a renewing of the mind to the real thing, it may not be possible to detect the counterfeit.
Amen. Let's look at some scripture here. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now let's go back and read Paul's words again from Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world. Don't pattern yourself after the darkness around you. But be you transformed. Begin to change. By the renewing of your mind, get into God's holy word and allow it to come alive in you, that you may prove, so that you're able to test, what is that good, whether or not the thing examined is fully agreeable and well-pleasing and perfect, means complete, will, to the determination, choice, purpose, decree, volition, inclination, desire, and pleasure. That is what that word will means. Pardon me. Of God. Pardon me, please. Okay. To overcome sin, we must separate ourselves and others from it. That doesn't mean we're here to shun people who irritate us, or to make them appear to be evil. Realize that sin lives within you, but it is not you, and stop agreeing with it. You know, that evil spirit, whatever it may be, anger and rage, or lust, or bitterness, or heaviness, depression, oppression, envy, jealousy, self-pity, rejection. That is not just who I am. That aspect of your mother or father, the propensity to drink to excess, to develop high blood pressure or heart disease, or diabetes or cancer, that is not a sentence that was passed into your life by God that must be fulfilled because that's just the way it's always been in your family. No, it is not you. God sees you as He ordained you from the foundation of the world. He sees the reflection of His character, His health, His strength, His faith. If you see something else, stop calling it you. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you are hearing me. Separate yourself from the sin within you, so that you can get it out of your life. You can get it back into the dryness and darkness where it belongs. And then out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water to refresh and revive those around you. And your health shall spring forth speedily, and you will be a light to those around you. You know, it is time. It is time to agree with God and what He says about you. So we want you to sit back and relax. You can close your eyes if you want to, but stay awake. Don't go to sleep. Because we are about to give you God's opinion of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just take a breath. Position yourself to receive.
Hallelujah. My child, I have searched you and I have known you. I know when you sit down and I know when you get up. I understand your thoughts, even when you are far from me. I compass your path. I surround you, even when you lie down. And I am acquainted with all your ways. There is not a word in your tongue that I don't know. I know altogether what you're going to speak before you even open your mouth. I have set myself behind you and before you, and I have laid my hand on you. I know that such knowledge is too wonderful for you to comprehend. It is so high you can't grasp it. But know this, there is no place you can go from my spirit. There is no place you can flee from my presence. You ascend up into heaven. I am there. And those times you make your bed in hell, I'm there also. If you were to take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there my hand will lead you. My right hand will hold you. When the darkness covers you, remember that even the night shall be light around me. I am with you, and the darkness cannot hide from me. The night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to me. I possess your reins, your innermost parts. I covered you in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a marvelous work. Your substance was not hid from me when you were made in secret and curiously wrought in your mother's womb. I saw your substance when you were not yet formed, and in my book I wrote all your members. I fashioned your members when as yet there were none of them. I knew the color of your hair. I knew how long your fingers were and the way you wrinkle your nose when you smile. My thoughts toward you are precious, and the sum of them is so great that if you were to try to count them, you'd find that they are more in number than the sand in the sea, the seas and on the shore. I think of you more than once a second. And all my thoughts for you are of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. There is nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature that can separate you from my love for you. My precious child, I know you best, and I love you most. And if there is anyone in your life, in the past, right now, or at any time in the future, if there's anyone who doesn't love you, it's because they don't know you the way I know you. I know you best, and I love you most, my precious child. I know you best, and I love you most. If there is anyone in your life who doesn't love you, it's because that person doesn't know you like I know you.
Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to pray with me now. Just pray this simple prayer out loud. Father, I ask that you seal this truth in my mind and in my heart.
Seal this truth in my mind and in my heart.
Thank you, Father God,
thank you, Father,
for reminding me of your great love.
Reminding me of great love.
That cannot be separated from me.
Not separated from me.
And for showing me, how I must separate myself.
How I must separate myself
from every unclean spirit that says otherwise.
Every unclean spirit that says otherwise.
Lord, I break agreement with every lying devil.
Lord, I break agreement with every lying devil
that tells me I'm rejected.
Tells me I'm rejected.
Just not good enough.
Not good enough.
And unacceptable.
And unacceptable.
I don't want those evil things in my life, Lord.
I don't want those evil things in my life, Lord.
You have given me truth, Father.
You have given me truth, Father.
And I receive it now.
I receive it now.
Rid me of spirits of rejection.
Rid me of spirits of rejection.
And worthlessness. And set me on a new path of truth.
Set me on a new path of truth.
In my identity. Continue to show me, Lord.
Continue to show me, Lord.
Your love and your mercy.
Love and your mercy.
As I learn to love myself.
Love myself.
And see myself as you see me.
See myself as you see me.
Let me never forget, Father,
never forget
what you have said to me tonight.
You have said to me tonight.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
And Father, I just take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever generational cords of iniquity and evil soul ties that have held rejection, inadequacy, worthlessness in place in these people's lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing all of us your love. Thank you, Lord. I cut through those ties of rejection, inadequacy, and worthlessness. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing that attaches itself to you. And I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. I speak to those unclean spirits and every lying devil that brought them to your mind. And I cast you out. Every lying spirit of rejection, worthlessness, inadequacy, incompetence, indecency, get up, get out, and go. I send you to the pit that burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. Come out from every thought in their minds, every emotion in their heart, every cell in their bodies go. I cancel cell memories of rejection, real or imagined. In the name of Jesus, Father, fill your people with your perfect love that casts out all fear, your perfect acceptance that rids them of rejection. Fill us, Lord, with your peace that dispels anxiety. Wash through us with your river of living water, bringing purity and power. In the name of Jesus. There it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Thank you. And thank you, Phil. I haven't been on the receiving end of that message. Thank you. I got it. I got it. Anybody wants to have a comment or a question tonight? Please push your *6 key and you will be heard.
Hello.
Hello.
Danette. I love this message tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I have to fight with that myself. Him trying to tell me about put stuff in my mind about this and about that. And I'm just like, you know, where's that coming from, you know?
Well, you know, it's not God, so you don't need it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have... I don't war anymore against those thoughts. Just when I get one, I just very quietly, if there's people around, I'll just say, no, get out of my head. That's all I do.
Sometimes I don't. I do that when I know that I know. You know what I'm trying to say? When you know, when you know that you know. But there's sometimes it's kind of like, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? But I guess it depends on what the subject matter is. And you said, like you said, if it lines up with his word or something. Because sometimes he says stuff about people. I don't know how to explain it to you. But anyway.
If it comes through with love, truth, and humility, it is God. But if it opposes his word, it is not God. If it's a deception, if it's prideful or fearful, it is not God.
Okay.
So that's how you can tell and discern and practice that discernment.
Right.
Thank you.
That's what I'm. That's kind of where I'm at right now. Is trying to. I'm in that stage, and like he's been trying to. He's trying to mess me up. I don't know why. He's just, the more I go further,
God,
he's trying to mess
job.
Me up.
Yeah.
Huh? That's his job.
The devil. The devil. Yeah, that's his job.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
Father,
good word.
Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you do seal this word and that you surround your people with your warring angels to turn aside the assignments of hell. And, Lord, that you increase our discernment. Give us holy boldness to practice the fruits of your spirit so that we can have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Thank you, Lord.
Clarity.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Annette.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, and bless you.
No.
Woo! Who else has something tonight? The anointing is very heavy around here.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you all for bringing the word for us tonight. Powerful, powerful. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Bless you.
Thank you. Take all kind of
voices.
God bless y'all.
Yeah, receive. Just surround yourself with the presence of God. Hallelujah. Who else? Pardon me. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Just saying hi. This is Sue.
Hi, Sue. God bless you.
Yeah.
Glad you're here.
Me too.
Anybody else before Phil closes our meeting tonight? Sends us off with a benediction. Okay.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, when you have one of those weekends with extreme pain and tests you to the very end, and I had one this past week, so you know that God doesn't abandon you, and even though you might have moments that you feel like abandoning Him. So, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you tonight. For tonight, it was wonderful.
Hallelujah.
So good to be here. I probably won't be here in the morning. I just wanted to let you know. I've got to get to the hospital early.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, we just lift you up, Claudia, for strength. Thank you. And peace. We just ask that the Lord just touch Claudia now.
And Reggie.
In an amazing way. Lord, and we just loose that healing anointing for Reggie. And just encamp your angels around the hospital room, around Claudia as she comes and goes. And she feels your tangible presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for her. I just ask that you bless them both abundantly and a quick recovery for Reggie. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And we have a big revival going on in Kentucky, in Wilmore, Kentucky. And it's a big one. Everybody wants to come.
And praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank
amen.
Thank you.
Be with her, sister.
Be with her. Thank you, Mitch.
All right.
People are coming from everywhere to this revival. I mean, they're
That's
just
good.
Driving, flying in. Yeah. So, I was there eight hours yesterday. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
No, you're a believer. It's believable.
Oh my gosh! I didn't want to leave. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, everybody, go ahead and mute your phone.
We thank you, Claudia, for your faithfulness. God bless you.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Ye baracha Father Noi, veyishmarecha. Yisah Adonai pana b'lecha yifunecha. Yisah Adonai pana b'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua in the name of Jesus, who is the Sar Shalom, who is the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we thank you for that blessing, and we receive it. And I ask you to encamp your angels around your people this week. Give them a God-filled glory this week. Protect their comings and goings, and fill them afresh this week with your Holy Spirit, and give them your, let them feel your presence wherever they go, and speak your word and your plan and purposes for their lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you one and all. Join us, please, in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. And this message will be repeated on Friday night. We want to bless Gretchen as she travels with great anointing and appointing along the way. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. You're welcome.
Good night, everyone.
Woo-hoo! Good night, everybody.
Woo-hoo. Good night. Love you. Bye.
Good night. Love you. Love y'all.
Hallelujah.